thankful for the opportunity. How many of y'all here? Some of you barely. I've been kind of on lockdown with the rest of the crowd. I was over in cell 336, and so we have been viewing messages online that ain't like church. So that's kind of like peg leg religion. It might hobble you around, but there's no warmth in it. Well, I want to mind the Lord, and I want you to turn with in your Bibles tonight to the book of Acts. Someone said, you know, a good book on church building. So I believe I do. It's the book of Acts. Now, they were in the church at Antioch. I'm not in Antioch tonight. I'm in a different portion. But I want to talk to you tonight about being a servant. A servant. 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 20. We've got a lot of experts today. You do know what an expert is, don't you? It's just a little spurt away from home. But we got a lot of experts that know how it ought to be done. But they're not doing much. Amen. I'm grateful for those who have blazed the trail before us. And those that have kept the line straight. And we're not left here to try to impress people. If you live godly, you will make an impression upon others. But if you'll notice with me, the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. And let's put in at verse number 18 of Acts chapter 20, if you'd like to stand out of respect for God's holy word. I do believe the King James Bible is the word of God. Amen. It hadn't changed any.
That's right.
I hear some of the awfulest stuff in my life in independent Baptist churches.
Yeah.
And I thought, dear Lord, they must have been way up under the house when they found that. Was it anywhere close to the truth? I better get to business. Acts chapter 20, verse number 18. The Bible said, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I've been with you in all seasons, speaking of the Apostle Paul, who by the way, got born again on the Damascus Road. It wasn't a sunstroke. It was a stroke from the Son of God. And he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He got born again. He said, I'm least of the apostles. He makes a confession. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's his confession. But he talks about his contentment. And then he comes down to conclusion. He said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And by the way, this matter of being in the battle and being a servant of the Lord is a fight from start to finish. And next verse, he said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll stop my reading there. And I want to just share with you a few thoughts about being a servant. Now, I say thank you for you missionaries that are here. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for men and women who give their lives to do the will of the Lord and being a servant for the Lord. Amen? Well, don't get excited about it now. I'm saying we are saved by God's marvelous grace, And we're left here not just to occupy space, but we're left here to be a servant of the Lord Jesus. Apostle Paul, great example of a servant of the Lord Jesus. Would you pray with us? Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for the good report by Brother Effington. We're grateful for what you've wrought on the mission field and what you're doing through the mission agency. And I pray in Jesus' name that you might continue to breathe upon and bless that work, and may it continue to grow. May souls be saved. And I pray for each missionary in their respective fields. We thank you for them. I pray that you might bless them in a special way in these days, that you might encourage their heart. But dear Lord, help us all to be mindful today that we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to be a good servant of our Lord. Bless, I pray, your word to our heart. Do what I cannot do. I thank you for all you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may take your seats. Now, I want to say this. This month, I have a spiritual birthday on the 14th of June, but it was back in 1960. I passed from death unto life. Amen. I became a child of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by His marvelous grace. He saved me, but then He called me. Hallelujah. He put me in the ministry. Amen.
Amen.
I'm grateful for the privilege of being in the ministry. Now, notice with me, if you would please, a few things about the will of God. Ephesians 5:17, the Bible said, "And be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." God wants you to know His will. Some of the greatest advice I ever received was from my old pastor, Dr. J.B. Buffington, who said to me, "Brother Joe, the desires and the aspirations of your heart, if it's to honor God, God put it there. The devil doesn't do that. God put it there." And listen, if God put it there, it's for His glory. Amen. And it's for our good. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be saved by God's grace and to be a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen. Amen. We're living in a crazy world. But we're not a vagabond looking for a home. We're just pilgrims on our way home. I'm saying, God, help us to be faithful servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was ordained, Brother Johnny, there were several men on that ordination council that's no longer in the ministry. And there's some that changed Bibles. But I'm grateful that they didn't call me. God called me. And He's left me here to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to be, and may the Holy Spirit burn that in our heart that, hey, you say, "Well, I'm a missionary, I'm an evangelist, I'm a pastor." No, no. Before all that, we're just servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm His and He is mine. Amen. And I'm not ashamed of the fact of calling Him Lord and Master, and I'm His child. And so in the book of Acts 22:14, "And I said to the Apostle Paul," he said, "the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know His will." That's important. God wants you to know His will. God's got something for you to do. Amen. And so he said to know His will and to see the just one and to hear His voice and to be His witness. And can I say, it always comes in that order. I'm reminded that Paul talked about much about the will of God. But we're serving the Lord. Whether you be in Australia or where you be in India, no. We're just servants of the Lord. We're here on assignment of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And can I say, what God's called you to do is not any less important than what God's called somebody else to do. The field might be bigger, but I'm saying to you, we serve the same God, and we're just servants of the Lord Jesus. And so we're serving the Lord. Those who know and love the Lord realize that we are servants. We're just servants of the Lord. We're not self. That's not a self-imposed designation. No, no, no. We're servants by the Lord. It's not being presumptuous when we say we are servants of the Lord. again and again. It speaks of Paul the servant and Timothy the servant. And God himself made us, and God is the one who called us. And here we have the older and the younger that are laboring together. And we got some young sprouts today that think they know everything. And I say to them, like Dr. Lakin to say, if that's your thinking, you probably need to be staying off the street, because somebody be run over you. you understand that we're just service. But they, I've heard them. I've been in meetings where and I'm not down on younger preachers. I'm for them. But they get up and they said, I'm going to try to teach you old fools how to do it, what y'all been doing wrong. I'm saying it'd be good if you realize that they might have some insight that you don't have. They've been down the road a whole lot further than you have. But here is the younger and the older working together. It's not my mission, it is his mission. It's not my work, it is his work. And by the way, God's work doesn't conflict. Notice with me, y'all stay with me now. We'll be through about midnight. I hadn't preached in about, I don't know if I've ever preached. But God himself made us, and it was God who called us. And here's the older and the younger that's serving together. They're praying together, and they're fellowshipping together, and they're fellow believers. I'm grateful for older men that had time for me. Men like Dr. Herbie Seitler. Men like Dr. B.R. Lakin, men like Lester Roloff, men like Andrew Telford. I mean, those men, they weren't so high and mighty they didn't have time for insignificant nobody. And the counsel they gave and the instruction they gave along the way, I'm saying to you, God, help us to be mindful of the pit from which we were dug, and we're nothing but by the grace of our God. But we're servants. I'm reminded that we're fellow laborers together. I'm reminded that both Paul and Timothy were servants of Jehovah God. They were not perfect servants, but they were servants. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul is an appointed servant. And so notice with me, if you would please, that it speaks of the surrender of his will. If I'm going to be the servant that God wants me to be, then I must surrender to the will of God for my life. I said at Tennessee Temple under Dr. Robertson's ministry, I said I will never pastor. And so I only end up pastoring a little over 30 years. And so don't be surprised if what you say you're not going to do, that might be God's assignment for you. Amen. But I'm reminded that I am where I am today by the grace of God. I'm here by divine appointment. I'm in evangelism not because I couldn't get a church. It's the church didn't want me. It was health problems, you know what I mean. They got sick and tired of me. But I'm saying, hey, you understand that whether you be an evangelist or a missionary or a layman in the pew, we're just servants, washed in the blood of the Lamb, serving our God. Amen. And so we'd have a surrendered will. Not my will, but thy will be done. Serving the Lord, being a bondslave, Lord. Paul's will was completely in subjection to the Lord's will. The Lord's will. And by the way, could I tell you, God's not confused about his will for you. There's some folk, listen, the will of God changes for them every 6 months. Or every furlough. Or every bad business meeting. God has a will, and God didn't change his mind every 30 days. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that God could take a man from the mission field and place him in a ministry in the States, and he'd be just as much in God's will serving the Lord there as he would over there. Fact is, if God wants him over here and he stays over there, he's out of God's will. Amen. And so I know I'm saved by the will of God. And I know that God called me and placed me in the ministry by the will of God. Know that I'm in evangelism by the will of God. And so it's a matter of surrendering my all to the Lord. The night I went forward in a mission conference, I said, sink or swim, survive or perish, I give you my all. And I'll report to you tonight, I have no regrets. I'm glad that God called me. And I'm glad that God placed me. And so I'm saying the surrendered will. When Paul got converted on the Damascus Road, he's saying, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He references it in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts in verse 23. He said, whose I am and whom I serve. I'm serving the Lord. And he describes himself as the Lord's willing slave. He's changed from a service of self to a service of Christ that took place at the beginning of his Christian life yonder on the Damascus Road. Amen. And so I'm reminded the first mark of a true servant of the Lord is that the surrender of his will. Somebody said, you can always tell independent Baptists. I said, I know, but you can't tell them much. It's there's folks that know, they know all about what God wants me to do. They're not doing anything. But they know all about what God wants me. I had a fellow that he was real sure that God wanted me to be a missionary on the island of North Eleuthera. He had it all planned out. There's only one thing right. God didn't say anything to me about it. I believe God's got something for me to do. Listen, have to pass right by my house to get to your house. I believe he'll stop in and tell me. And so I'm saying, God, whether it be in India or whether it be in Mexico or where they might be, if you're in the will of God, a willing servant of the Lord. He's not trying to make a name. It's not the matter of trying to build up a following. It's a matter of exalting Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Amen. But we used to sing that little chorus, I'll serve thee because I love thee. Thou hast given life to me. We don't sing it much anymore, and we're not serving much anymore either. And so I'm saying the surrender of our will. How do you fit in God's pattern? You understand, is your will laid down? Am I willing to do? There's people today said they'd serve God if God let them make the choice about where they serve. But it doesn't work that way. No. He's Lord, and he's the one who makes designs our life, has a plan for our life. I don't want to get to heaven and find out when I got to heaven that God had a plan and a purpose, and what I did didn't fit that at all. Wouldn't it be wonderful to step down on the portals of glory and the Lord pull the plan out and said, it was just like I planned it? It can be if you'll surrender your will to him. Willing servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. If our will is laid down, have we surrendered what we want and bowed in subjection to what God wants in our life? It's to matter of this. We are to serve him. A true servant of the Lord is one who comes to the place where he can say with the words of the Lord Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. A surrendered will. But notice with me verse number 19. In verse 18 he said, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all season, I'm a servant. He's a surrendered servant. Verse 19, he said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And so he's a man with a humble mind. Well, that's missing in much of our fundamental ranks. Yeah. There's folk, you know, they want to write a book about being humble, how they became that way. The surrendered will, I'm surrendered, but a humble mind, that's lowliness of mind. And it was Paul who said, when a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And I've met some of those along the way too. If there's any question of calling in the world, in the world where pride and self-esteem and self-importance should have no place, it's in the service of the Lord. How are we doing on the service department? Saved by the grace of God, glorying in the fact that we know we're saved. Heaven's our home, but hey, we're wasting a lot of time.
Yes, sir.
May God help us to redeem the time for the days of evil. The qualification for service is meekness, Christ's likeness. And in the service of the Lord, there's no room for self-seeking. We've got fellows that think of pastoring, and they're just looking for a bigger church, and they're looking for a stepping stone, and they probably should have never stepped in to start off. But I'm saying, it's this. Jesus illustrates it. Notice what he said in John chapter 13. 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, and you know the verse, but the Bible said in John chapter number 13, and I'm looking at, let's see if I got there. John chapter 13, and I got a wrong verse. It's a matter of this. Oh, how we ought to be like him, and somebody who wants to have his own way is not a good servant of the Lord. Someone who's got to have the last word is not an humble-minded person. Someone that is self-opinionated. And someone who is intolerant, and someone who's inflexible, and someone who's proud doesn't measure up to having an humble mind, humility of mind. And so, listen, where there is a humble mind in a Christian service, the devil can gain no ground if there's an humble mind. But where there's pride, he can and he will come in like a flood. And I'm saying it could be a preacher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or any Christian leader that sometimes becomes proud in their heart. And God help us to be a good servant of the Lord. Whether I'm on the mission field, whether I'm in a pastorate, whether I'm in evangelism, whether I'm a layman on the pew, God help me to have a surrendered will. I want the will of God to be done in my life. And I want to have an humble mind. I must recognize where God brought me from. I must realize where I could be tonight apart from the grace of our God. An humble mind. But notice with me Acts chapter 20 and verse 19 again. He said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptation which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He had a compassionate heart. How's he serving? With tears. Don't see many tears anymore. And I speak that condemning myself. I remember when Dr. Lee Robertson would weep as he would preach and how folks ridiculed him and laughed at him. He probably forgot more than they'll ever know. And when I think of men of compassion, I think of Dr. Crumpton. When I think of men of compassion that shed tears, I'm not talking about something pumped up. I'm not talking about something man-made. I'm talking about genuine heartbrokenness. I think of W. Jack Hudson. Seldom ever did he preach without a broken heart. But we're fundamentalists, and we're strong, and we don't want to show any weakness. And I say Jesus wept, and how compassionate we ought to be. Jude said, "If some have compassion." Making a difference. That's what made the difference down at the hospital when our brother went there to talk to that lady about her soul and then ended up through the providence of God being able to lead her husband to the Lord. Of some having compassion, making a difference, pulling them out of the fire. May God help us. I heard Dr. Grace say this years ago. He said, the only way you're going to win some people to the Lord is to love them to the Lord. And we hate sin. We ought to hate sin. Sure. But we must not hate this sinner.
Right.
And the world's in a mess. But it's not too big a mess for God to change.
Sir.
God could change it even. I said, we're living in a society when there's have so-called politicians today that are intoxicated with power. And they're, I believe things are getting ready for the Lord to come. Amen. Amen. And so when he comes, I don't want to be ashamed. When he comes, I want to be found faithful. I want to have my hand on the plow and my eyes on the goal, singing, "No Turning Back." I decided to follow Jesus. I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm saved, kept by the power of God. He's faithful, so faithful. Oh, the faithfulness of our God. Thank God for a faithful God. He said he's serving the Lord. He has a compassionate heart and with tears. Notice verse 31 of the chapter. He said, "He therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day." How to do it? With tears. I believe old Saul got saved. I believe he was transformed by the grace of God. And when he got saved, he wanted somebody else to get saved. And he expressed it as a faithful servant of the Lord. He has a compassionate heart. How cold are our hearts? Oh, listen, our hearts need to be stirred. Not just for one little area of the world. I was sitting in the chapel service at Tennessee Temple Schools years ago. And the man of God got up and made the appeal of getting the gospel to every creature. Brother Jacob, what God did that day in my heart, I've never forgotten. I've never gotten over. It's a matter like burning like a brand in my soul. When he said that, he said the responsibility is for you to take the gospel to every creature. And by the way, thank God for missionaries. Thank God that those are going there. But we ought to be going here. Amen. As to be men of compassion, heart, how dry our eyes and how cold our heart, how few know how to weep over the erring one and lift up the fallen and tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. We're reminded of the great verses on soul winning. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And by the way, let me insert this here while I'm passing by. We've got so frightened and so afraid to be identified with the so-called easy believism crowd that we run off the ditch on the other side and we're letting sinners go to hell. We're not Calvinists, but we act like it. You're all right. Y'all still in the building. I'm saying a compassionate heart. Paul knew what it was to agonize in tears over lost and over the saints that had fallen away. General Booth was a man of compassion. And remember that we're to preach with tears. And understand that he preached with passion, preached with tears. Gypsy Smith, Mel Trotter, blinded with tears. When's the last time God's broken our heart about folk or dying? It's not race problems, it's sin problems. And it's not just everybody else's sin, it's our sin. Hello? Your phone ringing? God didn't dial wrong numbers now. You understand that he said he's surrendered in his will, humbled in his mind, compassionate in his heart. But notice verse 19 again. He said, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." And so he was a man that was a servant of the Lord, surrendered in his will. He was humbled in his mind, compassionate in his heart, but he was steadfast in spirit. May God help us to be steadfast, unmovable. Vance Havner said, "We ought to be faithful in the fight." But then he said, "We're to be faithful to the finish." We got a lot of folk know how to fight. I'm afraid some of it wasn't designed by the Lord. It's like that old boy said, you know, I just gave him a piece of my mind. Dr. Crumpton said, "Be careful about giving pieces of your mind." Said, "If it's like mine, you don't have many pieces to spare." But we got folk today that That's their ministry they think. So he said, he's steadfast. Did you ever know of a servant of the Lord who was not tested? You're going to be tested along the way. There'll be trials along the way. There'll be some hard knocks along the way. I said if I'd been guilty of half of what folks accused me of, I would be in Sing Sing tonight. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so it's to recognize this. We're going to be tested, but we have a powerful enemy. But I thought I'd remind you again that greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Amen. And so you understand that the battle is the Lord's, and he's able to take care of our need. If the devil can't get you down one way, then he's going to he'll most certainly try another way. He never gives up. Well, Dr. Lakin said, it's not these whales that swallow up men that bother me. He said it's little minnows that just keep nibbling at your heels. There's a lot of that goes on among our fundamental ranks. And so they'll interpret your message for you. And they'll make an application for you. And it wasn't anything close to the truth, but they're spiritual. And so I'm reminded of this, that our Lord is on our side. And we have all his resources available for us. And Paul said that, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And be reminded of this, that he is our source. He's our strength. He's available for you, and he fights your battles. So God, have a surrendered will. Am I surrendered to the Lord? All to Jesus, I surrender. Do we sing the truth, or we just say the words? I surrender. How much? All. Surrendered will. So, if I heard Brother Sammy say this, he said that means that surrender. Took that blank sheet of paper and said, just sign your name at the bottom and let the Lord fill in the blanks. And could I say that we ought to be willing to do whatever God wants us to do, to be whatever God wants us to be. Was it not Brother Stennett Ballou who said, I want to do what I can while I can, so that when I cannot, I will not wish I would have while I could have. I'm just to do the will of God. And so he said it this way in the 23rd chapter of the book of Acts. And notice with me verse number 1. He said, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And he mentions again in chapter 24 and verse number 16. And he said, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. He said, I have a surrendered will, an humble mind, compassionate heart, steadfast spirit, but I want to have a clear conscience. How's your conscience tonight? You ever heard anybody say, let your conscience be your guide? You better not. It'll guide you into some ditch down there. It's to recognize this. Paul said, I kept back nothing. I kept back nothing. Kept back nothing. Paul was not perfect. Certainly he made mistakes. And no doubt he failed somewhere along the way. But I heard him say, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Notice this. The clear conscience, evangelistically. Do I have a clear conscience evangelistically? That's a tremendous claim. So I have a clear conscience evangelistically. I've been the witness I should have been. I passed out the tracts I should have. I talked to those I should have. Clear conscience. Oh no. I'm very suspicious that when we face the Lord, we'll be singing, I wish I had given him more. More, so much more. I wish I had given him more. He deserves more. He deserves our all. Do you have a clear conscience with regards to the souls around you? I saw a little clip on Facebook. I don't like Facebook that much. The only reason I ever hooked up with it is to hear some preaching. But I saw these nuts out there, supposed to be protesters, holding up signs saying, I'm going to hell and proud of it. I'm going to hell and proud of it. I said, there's somebody who's deceived. Somebody who's blinded. By the way, listen, except by the grace of God, you could be in the middle of that crowd holding up a like sign. I'm going to hell and proud of it. They don't know. They're blinded. And that's why we ought to get the gospel. That's what missions is about. Getting the gospel to every creature. Are you seeking to pay the debt you owe? Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian. So do I have a clear conscience doctrinally? Doctrinally, am I clear? And my doctor said, am I faithful to the proclamation of the Word of God? Do I give out the Word of God or do I give up my opinion? And so Paul said, I didn't withhold anything that was profitable for you. He had a clear conscience financially. He was not doing God's work for personal gain. Clear conscience experimentally. As far as he knew, he was living out the truth that he had taught them. You see, it's one thing to preach something, another thing to live it. Yeah. Clear conscience experimentally. That is this. Does our conduct agree with our creed in the service department? His personal relationship with the Holy Spirit was what it should have been. What about ours? Is ours a Spirit-led life? Five little thoughts about being a good servant of the Lord. A surrendered will. Not my will, but thy will be done. Humbled mind. Compassionate heart. Steadfast spirit. And a clear conscience. Here's my closing question. Do you qualify? Do we qualify? We're servants. But are we good servants of the Lord Jesus? Would you bow with us for prayer? His bowed eyes are closed. Maybe I could get the pianist to come. Brother Ernest got a little song to sing. I want us to see the seriousness of being a good servant of the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, would you confirm in our heart your word and help us to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Help us, our Father, that we'll not be ashamed of you at your appearing. May we be all that we need be in a world that's lost and going to hell. God, help us. God, have mercy upon us. And please help us. Would you stand with us, please? Head bowed, eyes closed. Wonder tonight if you might need to find a place at the altar. What kind of servants are we? Do we really qualify? I ask you to mind the Lord. Let God's perfect will be done in your life.